scripture this evening comes from John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, so I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Well, good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
Always thankful for these opportunities that I have. A few months ago, I saw a video. It was a guy that was giving a talk, and it was about rejection. And he actually, he thought he feared rejection so much in his life that he wanted to hit that fear, and he wanted to conquer that fear. So what he decided to do was for 100 days, he would try to get rejected. So he thought of all these kind of cute ideas that he would try to do. He'd like go to a fast food restaurant, eat there, and then go and to the counter and ask for a burger refill. And he was trying to get people to say no, but what he found is in the 100 days, he's surprised how often people said yes. He did all kinds of things. He went to a fire station and he said, "Can I get a tour of the fire station? I've never got to see a fire station before. Will you give me a tour?" He went to, he was flying on a plane and he asked the pilot before they took off, he says, "Can I tour the cockpit?" And they said, "Yes." He did all these things, and for 100 days he would just ask simple questions. And he actually went into it with the intention that people would reject him and say no. But he often found that he actually received a different response. Rejection is not an easy thing for us to face in our lives, and I think it's something that Christians face consistently, and it's something that I think that if we understand that we're going to face rejection, it might possibly make it a lot easier as we go through our lives. See, I think that sometimes we fear rejection so much that what happens is we fear or we think that we need to change ourselves, and that's not always the answer. Or even sometimes I think in the religious world, people get so scared because the gospel, the truth, is getting rejected time and time again that things need to be changed, things need to be altered. But of course, that answer is no. But I think Jesus, when he talks about rejection, and though he doesn't use that term rejection specifically, when he talks about that idea, I think he gives us this idea that rejection is something that we should expect. Not only something that we should expect, but something that we should grow comfortable with. And that's what I'd like to talk about this evening, is rejection. Our reading was in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus here, he paints a picture that's very hard for me to get around. He says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." That picture that he paints there, it's hard for me to get around. Jesus is trying to lay forth what we can expect from the world, and yet I feel like many times we go out into the world and we expect something different. We expect to live our Christian lives, do Christian things, act Christian ways, talk like a Christian, and we expect the world to not reject us, to not dislike us. It's like this idea that because we live the Christian life, we won't face adversity because we're the good guys. That people will always like us and always be kind to us and look at us and say, "What a great job they're doing. Aren't they stand-up members of the community?" And in fact, when we look out at our society today, we can see the shift where Christians are being demonized just like they were in Roman times. Those Christians are the bad people. Can you believe that Christians say that you can eat animals? Can you believe that Christians say that there should be a husband and a wife in the home? Can you believe what those Christians are saying? Are we missing the point that Jesus gives us in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19? That if we follow Jesus' ways, if we follow Jesus' teachings, that we aren't always going to receive that happy and welcoming that tone. We'll receive many times a tone of rejection. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it talks about two paths. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few are there who find it." Do we forget that many times the people that are following Jesus are in the few and not the many? Do we forget that living a Christian life, we will face rejection? The first rejection idea that I would kind of like to look at is Jesus and just his life. See, what I love about Jesus, Jesus didn't go through anything that he wouldn't ask us to go through. And certainly, when I think about rejection in my life, I think about Jesus. How much rejection did Jesus go through? And I think about Jesus and all the ways he faced rejection throughout his life, how he accepted rejection, how he handled rejection, and how he dealt with rejection. But one of the first core ideas I think we have to get down is that Jesus does not want people to reject him, although he knows that many will. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Jesus certainly wants all to be saved. They don't want people to reject Jesus, but yet people will reject Jesus in droves. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Certainly, Jesus wants all to accept him and not reject him, but certainly Jesus was rejected time and time again. But there's a strong desire for Jesus that none would reject, that all would accept. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, I think this idea is reinforced. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." Jesus does not want people to reject him, but people are. How is Jesus going to handle this rejection? How is he going to handle this rejection? In Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, we see a place where Jesus is faced with rejection, and we're going to see how he handles it. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Then his disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch." These people were rejecting Jesus. They were rejecting his message. They didn't like what he said. And what did Jesus do? He says, "I'm going to stick to the message. I'm going to stick to the message which I came to preach, and there is a core message that must be rooted in the truth." They were offended, but Jesus kept on with what he was doing. In John chapter 6, we have a similar situation where people are not liking what Jesus is saying. In John chapter 6, a lot of people turn away, and they say they're not going to follow Jesus in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 67, Jesus turns. He says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away?" Jesus was faced with rejection once again. People were walking away. They said, "We don't want Jesus. We don't want to be around him. We don't like what he's teaching. We don't like what he's doing. We don't even understand many of these things that he's saying." And they reject him. Seems like Jesus faced rejection again and again and again. He just kept going on about what he knew was right, what he knew to do was right. Will we do the same thing in our lives? Will we follow the example of Jesus? Or when the rejections start piling up, when people get offended by the things that we say, when people don't understand the things that we say, when people dislike the things that we say, will we just say, "We're not going to talk anymore"? Are we going to continue on? Are we going to let the rejection get to us? Because I think rejection, to some degree, is something that can get under people's skin very easily, get in their minds, and then all of a sudden, you start thinking about what you believe. You start walking away. You start compromising and say, "Well, if so many people are rejecting this, surely I'm wrong. It seems like I'm the only one standing for this idea. It seems like I'm the only one standing for this idea." You know, Jesus doesn't apologize for truth. He doesn't retreat from the truth. What are we going to do when it comes to those situations? You know, rejection, I don't find it something that's necessarily pleasant to talk about, but it's certainly something that we face in our lives. And I think when we look at our own lives, we can see it. We understand that people in their lives have a free will to choose, that they're going to choose to reject or accept Jesus, but it certainly doesn't make it easy when people that we love, that we care about, reject Jesus again and again and again, that they walk away from the words of Jesus again and again and again. It's not an easy process. But I think about Jesus and all the rejection that he faced. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." Jesus was rejected on all fronts, in all occasions, by all people, with all types of relationships with him. He was rejected again and again and again. We are going to face rejection in our lives. The question is, will we compromise the truth? Will we let the rejection get to us? You know, when I look at Jesus, they rejected the healer, the one who had all wisdom, the one that was perfect. They rejected him. And will you hold to the one that so many in the world reject? Because really, that's the society which we live in, if we're honest with ourselves. We walk through a society, we walk in a life where people around us are rejecting the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The question is, who's going to stand with Jesus? Who's going to be with Him? Who's going to stand with Him despite everyone else rejecting as we go throughout this life? But what I love about Jesus is Jesus faced a life of rejection. He was rejected by those that were close to Him, those that were far away from Him. Even though He was coming to the whole world, bringing a perfect message, He was healing people, doing all these things, miraculous work, He was still rejected. And yet, when we go through our lives, we feel that we won't get rejected. The first thing about rejection is certainly when we look at Jesus' life and reflect on His life, He was rejected in so many aspects, by so many individuals. Not by all, but by many. The second thing I'd like you to consider this evening is the rejection of you. Because you follow Jesus. If you follow Jesus and you dedicate your life to His teaching and His ways, and you try to follow Him and follow His teaching, you're going to be rejected as well. Isn't that the idea that He's giving us in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19? He says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If we continue on that passage in John chapter 15, verses 20 through 21, it says, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If any persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. This message that I look at is this message that says, you know, Jesus was rejected. All these things happened to Jesus. What do you think is going to happen to you? When you try to live the Christian life, live the Christian way, try to follow the principles and the ideas that are laid forth in the Bible, what do you think is going to happen? Persecution in many forms is a way of rejecting someone. When people are persecuted, they're being rejected. They're trying to put them aside in so many ways. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I remember I read that one time, and I was preaching in a congregation, and an individual came up to me, and they said, you really think that? I said, yeah. If we do what Jesus was doing, if we teach the things that Jesus was teaching, if we live our lives like Jesus was living, what do we expect? It says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's almost like rejection is a promise in a Christian's life. If you're living the Christian life the right way, if you're trying to establish and take those words of Jesus, the words of God, if you hear them and let faith grow, and you try to do the things that Jesus wants you to do, rejection is a promise. Not a suggestion, not an if, not a maybe. It's if you try to follow Jesus to the best of your ability, there is no other option. Rejection will come into your life in some form or another. Persecution will come into your life in some form or another. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, I think we find a similar idea. It says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Do not marvel, brethren. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. You know, whenever I became a Christian, when I read these verses and I tried to, I kind of took it in this light. I said, if I'm not being rejected in some form or fashion, I don't know if I'm doing my job right. If I'm not being rejected here or there, I'm not doing my job right. It's not that I'm not trying to be a good person. It's not that I'm not trying to love my neighbor. It's not that I'm not trying to extend a helpful hand. But if you live the Christian life, just by living the Christian life and standing by the principles of the Bible, people will reject you. If you don't believe it, ask any of our students that are going through public school. Ask them what their classmates believe. Ask them what they stand for. And ask them if they vocalize their beliefs about the Bible, how they will be received. About transgender, about homosexuality. There's a way sweeping through the youth where these ideas are accepted, they're commonplace, and you know what the conversations are in the classroom? It's okay, it's fine, what are you doing? You can love whoever you want, you can love whatever thing you want. Those are the conversations that are being had. If you stand up for Christian principles and values, how are you going to be perceived? How are you going to? I mean, we can see it. We can see the lash out on Facebook. Just post a Bible verse on Facebook and just see the responses ring in. Ding, 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 ding. No, this can't be right. This can't be true. That's what the Bible says. Again and again and again. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, it said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. They persecuted the prophets, they persecuted Jesus, and now we're New Testament Christians, and we're expecting a different response than all these people that have followed God through the past. You know, what I am encouraged by is as I look through all these people that went through all this rejection, went through all this persecution, they endured it all, and they stayed true to God throughout the whole process. But the question is that will we hold back when the rejection comes? When the rejection comes in this form, when the rejection comes on social media, when the rejection comes from our families, when the rejection comes from society, which is happening, we can see it all around us. When the rejection comes, what will your response be? Will we take a step back from Christian values? Will we take a step back from Christian principles? Will we take a step back from Christian ideas and say, you know what? I must be wrong because I'm getting rejected by everybody. I must need to compromise now. I think the Bible is very clear that rejection is something that we have to get used to. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, it says something really heartbreaking about rejection. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, it says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now that word love there is this idea that Jesus cannot take a second cross, not even to our family. And often as I've traveled, I've heard story after story after story of individuals who have had to make such a choice of putting God over family. Well, what a hard decision that is, to be rejected by your family so you can be with God. I mean it's a choice that we know should be made, that we know is the best choice, but what a hard, hard choice that is. You know, my grandmother, before she died, she wrote a paper, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ, and I took it and I typed it up and I actually read it this week. But she talks about the first time that she went back to her family once she became a Christian, and her phrasing was just three words, I was reprimanded. So she wrote, now I know from talking to her what those three words meant. I was reprimanded. What she was saying was she was rejected. She was shoved aside. She was not considered to be part of that rejection. Rejection is hard. Rejection is not easy. And rejection is something that if we live the Christian life, we are going to face. It's not an easy subject to talk about. It's not a subject that I'm necessarily happy to talk about. The only joy and consolation that we have is that through Christ Jesus, through our relationship with Him, we can be with Him in heaven one day and those who are added to that family. So sometimes I wonder, and I consider my grandmother and what rejection she had to face and what rejection so many people have to face that become members of the Church of Christ. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a background. And as I'm here at Sandyville longer and longer, I start hearing those stories. People that had this situation. People that had this situation. People that had this situation. People have this situation. All people that had to overcome rejection to become members of the Lord's Church in some form or another. Haven't we all? Haven't we all been through that? All of us in some form or another, we don't have to go too far in our own families and our spiritual families when we find those situations of severe and intense rejection by the world and those that are around us because we have decided to become Christians and follow Christ. Have we thought about that rejection? You know, I often think how important the spiritual family we have here at Sandyville, but the spiritual family, the spiritual unit that God set up, how important that is. Because some of us are the only family that we have. That was how it was for my grandmother. She had no other family. This was it. The family of God was the only family that she had. Because she was rejected. it's such a hard subject to think about. It's such a hard concept to consider, but when we consider our own lives, we know that rejection is there. Just like it was in Jesus' life, it'll be found in our lives, and we need to face it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about, are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I was doing a Bible study one time, and I kind of brought that verse up, and I said, what is that ashamed? When do we cross that line where we're ashamed of Jesus? When do we cross that line? And I don't know if I necessarily have the perfect answer for that. I think we'd have to tie it to, you know, multiple Bible verses in the Christian life and so on and so forth, but I was just, threw out that question, when do we cross that line when we're ashamed of Jesus? And I think one of those that we cross is that when we will not face rejection for Jesus. When we won't face rejection for Jesus, are we ashamed of Jesus? You know, we think of rejection of Jesus, we think rejection of ourselves, but I also think of rejection of the gospel. How often the gospel is rejected. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. You know, there are certain places that I haven't been invited back. That was interesting when I was 7 from 18 to 24. There were some places I wasn't invited back. Sometimes it was a scheduling issue, but sometimes I wonder what it really was. Why was it that I wasn't invited back? Was it because I was trying to cling to the words of God? Trying to cling to the God? Of course, you never know in these situations. Of course, you just do the best you can. You put your head down and you just keep trying to preach the words of God. The gospel, the truth. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 6, it says, but when they opposed him and blasphemed, he took his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. People reject the gospel over and over again. Of course, in this context, we're talking about the Jews, but the hardness of the truth. And we understand that when the gospel is presented, it depends on the audience and the people that are listening. But the question is, are you willing to face rejection to get the gospel to those that need it? In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I worry sometimes. Can we honestly say that statement or that question? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Or have we got so afraid of rejection? Have we got so afraid of the way people are going to respond to the gospel that we just say, you know what, I'm not going to tell them. I'm not going to talk to them about Jesus. I'm not going to talk to them about the gospel. I'm not going to talk to them about the plan of salvation. You know why? Because they're going to reject it. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Or have we become so afraid of rejection of the world, of those around us, that we just followed ourselves up and say, I'm not going to talk the truth anymore. I'm not going to talk about the gospel anymore. Because the rejection cost is just too high. I wonder about that sometimes. I wonder if we have the attitude that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, it says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Do we have that attitude? You know, we know that the world is going to view us in a certain way. Particularly if you start looking at the way our society is turning on Christianity, the values that it teaches, the ideas that it has. I think Rex shared something on Facebook about, you know, trying to get prayer out of a football game or something. I can't, I'm not on Facebook too much, but my wife is. I mean, our society is turning on Christian principles, values, ideas. Anything Christian, it's got to be evil. It's got to be bad. We've got to get it out. We can't have any of that. And our world is starting to view us in an interesting way. As a hateful people, as a bigoted people, as a not loving people. What are they doing? They're trying to reject us. They're trying to reject us and cast us aside. Their ideas are no good. Their ideas are bad. And how unfortunate that is, that they can't see how much we care for them. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, it expresses the attitude we should have to these enemies. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It says, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. How does God tell us to respond to all these individuals that are rejecting us, all these people that are saying all kinds of things against us? It says, love them. Pray for them. Bless them. Do you pray for those individuals? You know, I care so much for the people that reject me. Sometimes I study their religions more than they have. And they're surprised when they start talking to me and they're like, I'm like, yeah, that's what that group believes. I said, you might not believe that, but that's what your group believes. I said, you can check it someplace. But that's how much I care. I'll spend hours praying about these individuals that reject me. I'll study their things just so I can, when I get opportunities, that I can try to present the words of God better. I care enough to tell someone that I think they're wrong. But are we getting to the point that the rejection is piling up so high that we're not willing to take it on anymore? That we get so caught under the load of rejection that we say, I don't know if I can take it anymore. You know, we're going to suffer in this life. The question is, what are you going to suffer for? Are you going to suffer for good or bad? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Are you willing to suffer to do the will of God? And that's what it is when it comes to rejection. Rejection in all forms of our lives is that will you suffer? Will you take that rejection on to accomplish the will of God? And certainly it's not easy. It's not something that is a happy topic to talk about. But when we're talking about rejection, are you willing to take it on to spread the words of God? You know, think of all the people throughout the Bible that rejected the words of God. In Acts chapter 26, verses 44 through 28, we see Felix and Agrippa and their responses to the gospel. But I think that as I've went different places and all the times I've extended the Lord's invitation. Now, I know it's not my invitation. It's the Lord's invitation. It's the Lord's invitation. But after you offer it, you get attached to it. Well, why am I attached to it? Because I believe it. I believe that the Lord's invitation can save individuals. And when people reject the Lord's invitation, it hurts me. And you know that all the places that I've preached, all the places that I've been, that when I think about the Lord's invitation, not my invitation, the Lord's invitation, how many times that's went out and how many times it's been rejected. There's probably someone here that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation. Perhaps it's in the form of coming forward and meeting God, meeting the church in prayer or something like that. But many times, someone needs to become a Christian. And you know, I think of all those times the Lord's invitation has been offered, the Lord's invitation has been extended. And you know what? I can probably count the responses that I've seen, but I don't know if I can count the rejection. I don't know if I can count the rejection. I mean, the responses you can see, you can see people changing their lives, the repentance in their lives as they come forward and take the act and do the things that they need to do. But you know what? I can't count the rejection. How many times again and again and again? Again and again and again. Certainly rejection is not an easy thing for us to conquer in our lives. You know, you think of the parable of the sower and the sower that goes out and plants all these seeds. You know, I just think of that parable, you know. How many of those seeds turned out right? How many seeds turned out right? But that wasn't what the sower was focused on. The sower was just focused on planting the seed, planting the seed, planting the seed. But what if the sower just stopped for a second and started thinking about how many of these seeds are really turning out to be something good? If they started contemplating that and thinking, and then started looking. Look at all the birds getting all these. Look at all the thorns getting all these. And if you got focused on all the rejection, all these seeds that didn't make it, it'd be easy to get cycled into the cycle of depression and say, I'm going to give up. It's not worth it. But you know what? Sometimes the seed does hit on good soil. Sometimes the word isn't rejected. But the problem is you have to throw out so many seeds. You have to throw out so many seeds. Have we stopped throwing out the seeds because we got discouraged? Because we look down the way and we see the birds and we see the thorns and we see the sun and we see all the things that's happening in the seeds. We get so discouraged and say, nope, I can't spread the word of God anymore. It's getting rejected all over the place. I've got to stop. Or can we stop and look and say, yeah, I'm planting a lot of seeds. And you know, just one would be worth it all. Just one would be worth it all. You know, we've got a gospel meeting coming up. Who was the last person that you invited? Can you remember that? Or has it been so long since you've invited someone that you can't remember? Have you stopped? Why have you stopped inviting individuals? Is it because you just don't think it'll work? Is it because you've been rejected so many times? What I'd say is plant the seed one more time. Throw the seed out one more time. Because yes, it's going to get rejected. But if it gets accepted, what an amazing and glorious thing that is. Don't get lost in the rejections of this life. Don't get stopped by the rejection in this life. Understand your part as a Christian and living a Christian life, that Christians are going to be rejected in so many ways, but we can push on and do things just as Jesus did, continuing to do the right things and planting the seed along the way. If you're a non-Christian here this evening, you need to become a Christian. You need to obey the words of God. You can hear the words of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the words of God. You can believe those words about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. You can repent, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. This time of ignorance, God overlooks and now commands all men everywhere to repent. You can confess Jesus' name, Romans chapter 10, verse 19. You can be baptized, Mark chapter 16, verse 16. And then live a faithful life, planting the seed and facing rejection head on. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian tonight. There is nothing that we would rather do this evening. There's no place we'd rather be than to welcome someone in to God's family. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you please come as we stand as we sing.